Good morning, everyone.
Wow.
That was a wake-up one, right? It's good to be woken up in the morning. Well, it's good to be with you here today, too, on a special High Sabbath. It's great to see all of you in the new year coming out to worship God, to love God, and also to be here today to celebrate this Lord's Supper, which is such an important thing that we do. Well, listen, as we study this, we're going to start a sermon today that's in the series of Jeremiah. It's called Heart Surgery. And as we study this, let us join together in prayer. Father in heaven, as we open the word in Jeremiah to study this text, I pray, Lord, that your spirit would be upon all of us to see the great things in this text and what you propose to do for us as your people. Thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage that we're going to be studying in Scripture today is Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34, if you have your Bibles open. And in this passage of Scripture, it's the very center of three oracles of God, three announcements that come from God that begin like this: Behold, the days are coming. Behold, the time is coming. And the announcement that is made here in Jeremiah 31, this prophetic oracle, is an announcement of an event that took place 5 centuries later. It's an event that was so monumental that it changed the whole world. It changed my life. And it changes the lives of all who come here to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. The event that I'm talking about that's so life-changing, so dramatic, so powerful, is this event that we call the New Covenant. Let's take a look at it together as we look at the Scriptures here today. I'll read it for you right here. You notice I am pushing this button. It is not pushing. Okay, Larry, next slide. Here it is. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel. A new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them out by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. Next slide. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Next slide. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. This is the new covenant, an oracle, a prophecy of God given 500 years before it happened. And it's found nestled in the very center of the book of Jeremiah regarding this new covenant. And in order to understand the significance of this covenant, what we need to do, we're going to do two things. Number one, we're going to ask the question, what is new about the new covenant? What's new about this new covenant? And secondly, what difference does it make for us today? So those are the two things we're going to do as we study this text. We're only going to ask two questions. Number one, what's new about the new covenant? Number two, how does it make a difference in our lives every day today? And so the way we're going to unpack this is we're going to look at where these two covenants are similar. And once we find that similarity, we'll then be able to unpack the rest of it. So let's begin. Next slide. Oh, here it is. There's the slide. Let's begin with one similarity that both of these covenants have, and that is the idea of law. Both of these covenants have a law that is written by God. written by God himself. And in the Old Testament, the word law is derived from the Hebrew word Torah. And what that means essentially is instruction. It could be divine instruction or human instruction. And so the question we need to ask ourselves is, from the perspective of the Old Covenant, which instruction did God write? Which instruction did God write, like he's going to write the law in the New Covenant? Fortunately, if we allow the Bible to interpret itself, this is a no-brainer. Next slide. Oh, this is the slide. Exodus 34, verse 28. It says, "So he was there with the Lord," that's Moses, 40 days and 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments here, called the words of the covenant, were the only instructions given by God that were written by God himself on tables of stone, just as they are going to be written in the interior of your body, in your heart, by the finger of God himself. This is the connection here. The Ten Commandments were placed in an ark. What was the ark called? The ark of the what? Covenant, that's right. Starting in the book of Numbers. Originally, the Ten Commandments was called the testimony, but when you start reading in the book of Numbers and continue on, the Ten Commandments then becomes the covenant of God. It's the Ark of the Covenant. And it was distinguished from all the other instructions that were given by God to Moses because it was placed inside this ark and not outside. You read the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 26. If you write that down, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 26, it talks about where the law was separated from all the other law, the law of Moses, which was called a witness against them if the children of Israel failed to observe this covenant law, which was the Ten Commandments. Okay, so the basis of both the Old and the New Covenant, the similarity of both of them was the law, the Ten Commandments. That was the covenant basis for both the Old and New Covenants. Now, once we understand this, we can now put everything together. We can know what God was shooting for when God placed the law, the Ten Commandments, as a basis of his covenants. And here's what it is. God was looking for a people who would love the Lord their God with all their heart and with all their soul, with all their might, and love their neighbor as themselves. This is what God was shooting for in his covenant. The Bible tells us that the key, everywhere you read in the Bible, the keeping of the Ten Commandments is always results in an act of love. Isn't that right? If you think about those Ten Commandments, the four that talk about our love for God, the six that talk about our love for one another, when you observe those things, you're actually doing an act of love. In fact, this is exactly what Paul says. Paul writes this in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 to 10, and I'll read this to you. He says this. He says, "Owe nothing to anyone except love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it's summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore," Paul writes, "love is the fulfillment of the what? The law." Love is the fulfillment of the very thing that's the basis of the covenant, the old and the new. Love. And this is what God proposes to do. This is what God wanted us from us. What we can know from this is that both the Old Covenant and the New Covenant was aiming to produce people who reflected God's character of love. Isn't that what the Bible says, that God is love? And when we reflect his character, we would be people on the face of the earth would be truly in God's image because we would reflect his love. Love for God, love for others. And what this is called other person-centered love. The Ten Commandments was essentially a method, a transcript of how you can love someone else. We're so used to, in our world today, understanding self-centered love because that's what we mostly operate in. To operate in a sphere where you are now practicing other person-centered love, You're focusing your love on God. You're focusing your love on your neighbor as yourself. That is what God was intending for his people. And where the failure occurred, according to our text here in Jeremiah, where the failure occurred in the old covenant was not with God's intention. It was not with the Ten Commandments, but it was with the people. It says here, right here in Jeremiah, he says, not like the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them out of the hand. I took them by the hand. Did you catch this? And brought them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them. In the midst of all the grace that they had from God, by taking them by the hand, by being a husband to them, they decided they didn't want to do it. They decided they didn't want to love God. They didn't want to love their neighbor. If you were to read Jeremiah and you look at the indictments, the complaints that God makes against the people, you're never going to find one single complaint that they just didn't make the right offering or they messed up in their ceremonial services. No. Everywhere where it talks about the covenant, everywhere where it talks about God's indictment of the people, it was that they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to love God. And they chose to worship other gods. They didn't want to love their neighbor as themselves. And they chose to steal and to murder and to exploit their neighbor. They chose to live a life like that. That, my friends, is the old covenant experience. It's the experience of living under a hand of grace by God, being led by the hand, being husbanded by God in all that grace, but yet saying, I'm not gonna do it. I choose not to love you. I choose not to love you. That's the old covenant experience. And what's new about the new covenant is not God's intention, but God's target. It's not God's intention, but God's target. You see, what God is announcing in this oracle of a new covenant is really heart surgery. Let's take a look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 to 27. Because Ezekiel, as you know, was a contemporary of Jeremiah. And in Ezekiel, he talks about exactly what it means when God says he's going to write his law in his heart, in our hearts and in our inner beings in this new covenant. Listen to what he says. He says, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe all my ordinances. You see, in the new covenant, the target of the new covenant was not more head knowledge, but it was heart transformation. God proposed to do heart surgery. You know, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul says this. This is a question now. Think about this like a question. Who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant? That's how Paul starts this. Who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant? Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. You see, only intellectual assent to anything will fail. What really has to happen is transformation. We talked about this today in our Bible study class earlier. The fact that we know intellectually that the speed limit on I-5 out here going north and south is 65 miles an hour. We know that intellectually. But as we travel to Portland in a hurry, we travel down to California, it takes more than head knowledge to to get us to observe it. It takes a transformed heart, a transformation of the heart. And this is what God proposes to do in the new covenant, friends. He proposes to take hearts of stone and transform them into hearts of flesh. He wants to take our stony hearts and transform them and make them into hearts of flesh. And let's talk about that for a minute. Do you know the idea in the Bible of a hard heart, a hardened heart, a stony heart? They're all the same. Every single one of those examples in the Bible, they all have one thing in common. What is it? It's a heart that stubbornly refuses to love and obey God. Think about Pharaoh. Pharaoh had a hardened heart. He wouldn't let the people go. Everywhere you go in the Bible and you find a hard heart, it's hard because they don't want to do it. This, my friends, is the old covenant experience. God wants to transform us from hearts that don't want to do it, from hearts that say, uh-uh, God, from hearts that are stubborn, hearts that refuse, hearts that disobey, to hearts of flesh. Paul writes this in the book of Romans chapter 2, verse 5, speaking now to Christians. He says, because of your hard and impenitent heart, there it is, you are storing up wrath for yourselves in the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. You see, this Greek word up here that we call hard is where we get the English word sclerosis. You probably knew that. Sclerosis is the hardening of the arteries. And what God proposes in this covenant is to perform heart surgery, to transform hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. This is the essence of the new covenant experience. This is what's new in the new covenant. Listen again to our oracle this morning, Jeremiah 31, 33. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws within them, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. You see, in the new covenant experience, Israel are all those people that consent to the heart surgery. You have to consent to have heart surgery, you know. And this is the same way there. Israel are these people that consent to heart surgery. You know, just like in modern heart surgery, we talked about that today. In modern heart surgery, the surgeon actually stops your heart. It stops beating. You're dead. But just like when a surgeon restarts your heart and you live and breathe again, the new covenant experience is a new birth. It's a transforming experience. Just like what Jesus said. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 5 to 7. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say you must be born again. And this is the amazing thing about the new covenant experience. And that is this, that when you are born again and the Spirit of God is writing His law in your heart, in other words, you're loving God and you're loving other people, other person focused, other person centered love. When that happens, something amazing happens, and that is the true knowledge of God results. The true knowledge of God results. Listen to what the oracle says right here. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor. Isn't that interesting? You don't have to teach your neighbor. Your brother saying no, that word no is experientially. Like, I know you experientially. Know the Lord. So you won't have to talk about God anymore. For they all shall know me from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. How is that? Because they are experiencing God through you. That's the essence of the new covenant experience. Imagine a population of people, all loving God, all loving one another from the heart, from the innermost being. Can you imagine a population of people like that? Truly, there would be, they reflecting the Creator God of love. No one would need to experientially know who God was because they would be seen, God would be seen acting in his people, and they would definitely say, these people must be know God. These people know the God of that Bible. You see, this is the goal of the new covenant. This is the new covenant experience. And this is exactly what Paul shares with us. In Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 to 16, Paul says this, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." That's this born again idea, death to the old and life to the new. Then he says in verse 15, "For neither circumcision counts as anything." Circumcision, of course, was code word for ethnic Jew, ethnic Hebrew. It's just as it is today. So what he's saying is it's circumcision, in other words, belonging to old, you know, if you want to call it this way, a child of Israel, an ethnic person born as a Jew, whatever, is nothing. It's not anything. Nor uncircumcision, which would be all the Gentiles and all the rest. Those are nothing now. The only thing that matters is this. It says, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and the Israel of God. You see, the Israel of God now is no longer ethnic people. It's people who truly experience the new covenant experience. What's new about the new covenant in Jeremiah, this oracle, is that what God is proposing is that there's going to come a time when people aren't going to just say, I am a person of God because of my ethnicity or my background or whatever, but they're going to be known as people of God because of the new covenant experience, that they are born again and that God's Spirit is in them and God is at work in them to transform and to write this covenant of love in their hearts. Supreme love for God and love for each other. That is the new covenant experience. And so what I want to ask here is this. Before we break right now to wash one another's feet and then to celebrate the Lord's Supper together, I'm going to ask a simple question. What hinders us from having the new covenant experience? The question I'm going to ask is this. Is it possible for us to be a new covenant Christian but have an old covenant experience? You get that? Is it possible for you to be a Christian, a card-carrying Christian, but yet have the old covenant experience in your life where your heart is just as hard to God as it was in the Old Testament, where you say, no, God, I ain't going to do it? And I believe the key to answering this comes in how you view this last part of the oracle, which says this, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." Do you realize that if you experience forgiveness in the covenant only intellectually, you have intellectual assent to it, it's very likely that you will not be changed by it. You see, in the new covenant experience, forgiveness is something that you experience in the heart, in your being. And the result of forgiveness always has these characteristics: godly sorrow for the sin and a turning back to God away from the sin. That's part of the new covenant experience. And you can't have that if your Christian experience is only experiencing forgiveness intellectually. I know it, but I don't have it. I know it. But I don't have it. You know, our quarterly this very week says that Christ-centered religion is rooted in heart transformation that leads to ethical behavior. What they're saying there essentially is the new covenant experience. God's Spirit writing in your heart. You know, if you accept forgiveness intellectually, here's what you're going to say to God. You may have said this. Okay, God, I'll try harder next time. That's an intellectual. That's how you accept forgiveness intellectually. Okay, I'll try harder next time. I'll work at it a little better next time. But the new covenant experience of forgiveness is like this. Okay, God, I will trust you more fully. You see, everything in the new covenant is something we receive from God by faith. In the new covenant, it's God says, I will make the new covenant. God does it. You don't do it. God does it now. I will make a covenant with my people in those days, saith the Lord. I will write my laws in their innermost being. I will put them in my heart, it in their heart. They will be my people. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And you won't have to tell anybody about me, because they're all going to know. And I will forgive their sins, and I will forgive their iniquity and their transgressions, their sins. You see, everything about the new covenant experience is something we receive from God by faith through the power of His Spirit. It's a Spirit-led life. It's a Spirit walk with God. And so here's my question. As we break today, we come together to worship God and to celebrate His Lord's Supper. And here's my question for us today. Since the last time you've had communion, have you been living a new covenant or an old covenant experience with God? This is what I want you to ask yourself. As we break today, I want you to think about it. Contemplate this very thing. Have you been living a new or an old covenant experience? Number two, what's the role of faith? What kind of faith have you had in the last time you've had communion? Where has your faith been? And number three, what provision does God give to you to transform you now? If you say that, you know, I have been living an old covenant experience. My heart's been stony hard. I know God's been calling me, but every time it just like bounces off that hard heart and I stubbornly refuse. What did God provide for you to transform that heart from a stony heart to a heart of flesh? Before we come back together again, I want us to all think about those very things. Let's pray. Lord, as we separate to do what you commanded to the benefit of ourselves, washing one another's feet, and we come back together and we celebrate the emblems of the Lord's Supper, I'm praying, Lord, that we would contemplate where we are in the new covenant. Are we having the new covenant experience? Are we still in the old covenant experience? Lord, help us today to see the role of faith, the power of your Spirit, and the might of your grace. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's separate now. And if you are a guest here today, and you will have a children's story here for you, we'll have some music for you to listen to, and we'll be right back here together. If you'd like to celebrate with this foot washing, we're going to have a place out here in the Sabbath school rooms where men can go, women can go, and over in the Better Living Center where couples can go and wash one another's feet, pray with one another. And let's be back here in just a few minutes. Thank you.